In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thy only begotten Son to die for us,
mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, the eighth Sunday after Trinity, is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 through 17, and reads as follows. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Let us now sing hymn 234. The gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 through 23, and reads as follows. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet, chapter 23, verses 16 through 32, and reads as follows. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain, and they speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil ways and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, in his epistle to the Romans, the Apostle Paul writes, let God be true and every man a liar. Compared to God, who is complete truth in all his words and deeds, humans, conceived and born in sin, are liars. So they speak lies. Sometimes Christians are tempted to underestimate the power of a lie and think that lies are easily detected and avoided. It's not true. The devil, whom Jesus calls the father of lies, is very crafty and powerful and has been very successful in causing people to believe blatant lies contrary to the truth of God's holy word. The devil most effectively spreads lies through people who seem to be very honest and trustworthy, who seem to be men of God, prophets. In fact, the most effective lies are those that are couched in a measure of truth. The truth gains acceptance for the message, and then the lie sometimes just sneaks in there under the radar. Now, the ultimate goal of the devil in promoting lies is to lead people away from the saving truths of the Christian faith. Thankfully, the Lord has given us His Word as the perfect, flawless standard of absolute truth. So we can use that to steer clear of the lies, to protect us from the deceits of Satan and the false prophets. But to do that, we need to use the Scriptures wisely and distinguish between truth and error. On the basis of our text for this morning, we shall consider some of these points under the theme that God warns us about false prophets. We shall first consider the point that false prophets mix law and gospel. And secondly, that God's pure word helps people. False doctrine hurts them. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of His word in your hearts and in your lives. So what exactly is a false prophet? A false prophet is anyone who teaches contrary to God's holy word, even if only in one single point. False prophets, therefore, would also include all pastors who belong to heterodox church bodies. False teaching churches are headed by false prophets. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus gave the warning, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Likewise, in our sermon text for today, the Lord God warns His people through the true prophet, Jeremiah, not to listen to the deceitful, spiritually harmful messages of the false prophets. Thus we read in the first verse of our text, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, that make you vain, empty, that speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord." When those false prophets would tell the people they had had a vision, says that wasn't from Him. What they're speaking is the product of their own sinful hearts, not from the mouth of the Lord. One of the more subtle ways that false prophets push lies upon the people is by mixing law and gospel. In this way, they can lie by actually quoting the Scriptures directly, but grossly misapplying the Scriptures. Now, it is obviously true that the gospel's message of God's love is a more pleasing message to hear. It's a more pleasing message to preach than the message of God's wrath and punishment. It is also true that the gospel, not the law, is the only thing that can really save a sinner from the consequences of his iniquity. And yet, it is also true that not everyone, in fact most people, are not in the proper condition yet to hear the gospel. They first need to hear the law to prepare the way for the gospel. The true prophet Jeremiah was told by God to preach law to the wicked, the impenitent, to warn them about the dangers of their ways and the consequences of their sins. What did the false prophets do, however? They preached the opposite. Instead of warning the people about God's wrath and punishment, they told them that God was still a God of love and peace, even toward those wicked, impenitent unbelievers. So we read in the next verse, "They," the false prophets, "say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you." That was a gross mixing of law and gospel. Preaching the gospel of God's love and peace to those who should have been hearing only the law It is absolutely crucial that the impenitent, the wicked unbelievers, hear the law of God to be humbled, to be made to see their sins and the consequences of those sins. Telling the unbelievers, the impenitent, that they have peace with God is the exact wrong message. Not only is it untrue, but it causes the exact wrong effect to take place. It encourages them to continue in their evil ways. In the next verse, God rhetorically asks, "For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it?" The implied answer here is that no man just naturally knows the counsel, the will, the word of God. The only way that we can know the counsel, the will, the word of God is if God tells us, as he did through the true prophets, such as Jeremiah, as he has for us in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Yes, God's inspired word tells us his counsel and will, but all those who ignore the word of God, who simply attempt to discern the mind of the Lord based on their own musings, their own creative thinking, well, they will not possibly, they cannot land on the truth that way. The false prophets and those who follow them set themselves against God, set themselves against his word. They are hurting themselves. They're putting themselves on a path that leads to eternal destruction in hell, and they need to be warned about that. That's why they need to hear the law. They're not to be given any false sense of security by hearing the gospel. Accordingly, we see the true prophet Jeremiah in the next two verses, preaching stern law as a warning to the false prophets and those who follow them, saying, "Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly." The false prophets that deny such judgment of God that will befall them, they will learn in the latter days. When the time of God's judgment comes upon them, but then it will be too late for them to repent. The false prophets are not just hurting themselves. They're hurting those whom they deceive. And since God wants all people to be saved, to come into the knowledge of the truth, he is not the one who's sending these false prophets with their destructive message of lies. He declares in the next verse of our text, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied." What if the opposite were the case? What if he actually had given them his word? And what if they had faithfully taught his word? That would be great. Then the opposite result would take place. If they had taught the people the truth instead of lies, they could have helped the people. They could have turned them from their evil ways. This is what the Lord declares in the next verse, saying, "But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings." Yes, the word of God has that power to work for the good of the hearers, to turn them from evil to good, from the way of death to the way of life. Through the law, sinners are shown their need for a Savior. And then through the gospel, they're shown who that Savior is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, most of what is recorded in our text for today would fall under the heading of law. But earlier in this same chapter of our text, we find some beautiful gospel. If you have your Bibles open to our text and look back at verses 5 and 6, we have a nice prophecy of the Messiah, where we read, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." Yes, the Lord Jesus is our righteousness because of what he accomplished for us when he came into this world. As our substitute under God's law, he perfectly satisfied all the commandments for us with a life of pure righteousness. And he suffered the consequences of our sins when he died on the cross as a spotless, sinless lamb sacrifice. We, by faith in him, receive Christ's righteousness as our own. And that's why he's called in that verse, our righteousness. For Christ's sake, we are assured that all of our sins are forgiven. We've been declared righteous and holy for Christ's sake. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleansing us from all our sins. The gospel assures us that in Christ Jesus we have a loving Heavenly Father who cares for us, watches over us, who will never leave us nor forsake us, who's always with us. Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." But even though such a promise of God's omnipresence, that he's everywhere, always with us, is great comfort for us Christians, we see it mentioned next in our text as a warning of God's law, a reason for the false prophets to be afraid, because God is always watching. He's always there. Our text says, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" Yes, and because he does fill heaven and earth, he's fully aware of everything that the false prophets were doing and saying, whether openly or in secret. Thus he declares in the next verse, "I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed." Yes, God was fully aware of all that the false prophets were doing and saying, and he knew the extent of the damage that they were causing among the children of Israel by their lies. We read in our text, "How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal." It is a very sad thing when Christians who knew the word of God, who knew the name of God, lose their faith. Our text describes that as those who had known the name of God and then forgotten it due to the lies of the false prophets, leading them away from the one true God, causing them to forget his word, causing them instead to follow false gods like Baal. In order to save his people from the destructive effects of sin and false doctrine, God obviously wanted the false prophets to stop spreading their lies. But additionally, it was important, in order to combat those lies, for the true prophets, those who knew the word of God in truth, to speak up, to accurately set forth the truth, to combat the lies. Thus he says in the next verse, "The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord?" Just as the chaff, straw, cannot be compared to actual wheat when it comes to providing physical nourishment for the body, so also false doctrine proclaimed by false prophets, their lies, cannot be compared with the true word of God when it comes to providing spiritual nourishment for man's soul. The power of God's pure word is set forth in the next verse of our text as follows. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Now, the word of God certainly has the power to create and build up things such as faith, hope, courage, love. But, as it's described here in our text, it's describing the power of God's word to break and destroy things such as sinful pride, worldly wisdom, the lies and deceit of the false prophets. Since the true word of God has the exact opposite effect of the lies of the false prophets, they are direct opposites, after all, that means following one means not following the other. If someone is following the lie, he's not following the truth. If someone's following the truth, then he's not following the lie. So then, in order to get the people to believe their lies, the false prophets needed to steal the word of God out of their hearts. This is how God describes it in the next verse, where we read, "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor." This description of how false prophets steal the pure word of God from the people is much like how Jesus described the devil in the parable of the sower, under the imagery of birds that eat up the seed of God's word sown to the hearers. God's firm opposition to the way that false prophets dare to put words in his mouth, to pass off their words as if it's the word of God, is described in the next verse as follows. "Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith." Though a person who allows himself to be deceived by the false prophets really has only himself to blame, especially when he's learned better, when he's learned the truth of God's word, but then turns from it. Yet we see in the next verse, the final verse of our text, that God does hold the false prophets themselves accountable too for the damage they cause. He says, "Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness," which is literally recklessness. "Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord." Unsurprisingly, those false prophets do not provide any value to those who believe their lies. They only do spiritual damage. God obviously doesn't want us to be deceived to our soul's destruction. So he does not want us to allow false prophets to mislead us. Again, Jesus said the same thing in our gospel lesson for today from Matthew 7. Once someone has been identified as a false prophet, he needs to be avoided. In all matters of Christian fellowship, there is to be no fellowship with a false prophet. So may the Lord always keep us spiritually alert and watchful, and not allow ourselves to be pulled away from the pure teachings of his word. For Jesus' sake, amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. your Savior, Jesus Christ. Make us truly thankful that thou hast earned for us the forgiveness of all our sins by thy perfect life and by thine innocent suffering and death. And bless the offering of thanksgiving which we now place before thee to the honor of thy holy name. Amen. Let us rise to pray. O Heavenly Father, who by thy dear Son, Jesus, our Savior, didst create all things that are in heaven and that are in earth, giving him authority over all, we thank thee that through him we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we may truly know thee as our Father, call upon thee in prayer, and be assured that we will be heard as thy dear children. O Heavenly Father, for thy church and for thy people we pray. Grant unto us, pastors and teachers who are counseled and led by thy Holy Spirit, and who earnestly hold forth the word of life, diligently gather thy children and teach them all things whatsoever our Lord has commanded. And to this end, dear Heavenly Father, open the hearts of men throughout our conference, that they may be filled with the desire to serve thee in the pastoral office, and to be thoroughly trained for such work in our seminary, that under their leadership in future years, our congregations may continue to be led with the full truth of thy holy word. From all false prophets and deceitful guides, save us, that we, being knit together in love, may stand fast in one spirit and with one mind strive together for the faith of the gospel, holding fast the profession of our faith in accordance with thy word, without wavering. Rest thy hand of blessing upon Pastor Leitz and upon Pastor David T. Menzing, and support them in body, mind, and spirit, that they may, if it be thy will, continue laboring for thee and their congregations as faithful ministers of the gospel. Dear Father, let thy Holy Spirit descend upon our homes. Let the word of Christ, in all wisdom, dwell richly in the children of our congregation, and grant that all parents may be faithful examples of true Christian virtues. Shelter them in every storm and preserve them from all evil. And help us always to sanctify the Lord God in our body and in our spirit which belong to thee, O Heavenly Father. Help and defend our brethren in Nigeria and Russia, that their bodies and souls may be protected from all who seek to harm them. Uphold them in all their trials and keep their hearts joyful in the promises of thy love in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, dear Heavenly Father, as thou hast bidden us by thy word to let our requests be made known unto thee with thanksgiving in prayer and supplication, we come to thee in loving gratitude and trust, offering these petitions in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, in whose name we furthermore pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty and gracious God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of thine infinite mercy, give us true teachers and ministers of thy word, and put thy saving gospel into their hearts and on their lips, that they may truly fulfill thy command to hold fast and to preach nothing contrary to thy holy word. That we, being warned, instructed, nurtured, comforted, and strengthened by thy heavenly word, may do those things which are well-pleasing to thee and profitable for us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 9 of hymn 292. I wish to make the following announcements. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of the new month, so we'll be having the Lord's Supper, and all those desiring to commune are asked to make their intentions known to the pastor in advance. Today's softball game has been delayed by only a half hour, so it'll be at 3:30 instead of 3 o'clock. And if you have any questions about that, as always, talk to either Luke or Sean about that. And may God's rich blessings be and abide with you all.